Welcome to YahvahYahweh.name, and we're going to go to Malachi chapter 4 today with words to live by, the entire chapter. I'm Stefan Yah, and portions of this podcast are beamed to our communist enemies overseas and those here at stateside at home. So don't touch that browser. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahweh of hosts. Also see Psalm 37:18. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, the statutes and judgments. See also Galatians 6:16. There was an added word in there, with, W-I-T-H, so... I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel the statutes and judgments. Yes. Behold, I will send you Eliah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, or with lest I come and smite the earth with utter destruction. That was Malachi 4 in the King James Version, the last book before the New Testament in King James and most modern versions. And it says to remember the law of Moses. Most Protestants take that to mean that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, to forget the law of Moses. But here it says to remember it. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on here. Let's go to Ezekiel 44:24 as we browse through the scriptures. And we're very blessed today. Some people would say, well, this is bondage, but it's a blessing. 44:24. Oh, now I see too many other verses here again that we're going to have to read all of this. Neither shall they, in verse 20, neither shall they shave their heads nor suffer their locks to grow long, but they should only pull their heads, or shear their hair short. And next verse, 21, neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court, neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before, and they shall teach my people the difference between the pure and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. See also 22:26. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge in it. They shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall set apart my Sabbaths. Let's go to that 22:26. We just read Ezekiel 44:24. And how we would love to obey Yah in everything and every word, and with our heart, with our soul, mind, and our strength. We don't always do that, but that's our goal. So I think it was 22:24. It says here, Son of Man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. Yes, rain can be a sign of blessing. I'm very, very thankful for the few times that it rains anymore in the West here in America. Let's also read verse 18. Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross or mixture. See, all kinds of different beliefs, faiths, religions, it's become dross. All they that are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace, they are even the dross of silver. See also verse 1, or no, chapter 1, I mean. And then back to verse 26 now. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my pure things. They have put no difference between the pure and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. So that is the same thing that is happening today, sadly enough. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in that day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Maybe that relates in your life these days, wherever you're located. Let's read verse 7, and then on towards that other key verse. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto Yahweh who gave it. Or another word for spirit there would be breath. The breath shall return unto Yahweh who gave it. Verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So this goes along with Malachi chapter 4, that remember the law of Moses. So it says here in verse 13 at the end of Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For Yah shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that's the good and the bad news there. Some of our secret things that we've done that are nobody else knows about, but we've done great things for others, are going to be exposed someday, and praise Yah for that. Oh, I love that, didn't you? Love that verse 1 there. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Let's hear a song now. Beautiful music. There's not that much time left on this earth, so let us praise Yahweh. And remember that we're going to worship him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Something that I feel that inside. Something that cannot be denied. Something made me kneel down and pray. Then Jesus took my sins all away. Something wonderful, something marvelous came into my heart. It was the love of mighty Savior, and it never will depart. Something made me kneel and pray. Then Jesus took my sins all away. Something marvelous came into my heart. It was the love of mighty Savior, and it never will depart. And there's something you can have, and it's true. Yes, he will give this something, something to you.
Those were the accents here on Yahweh Yahweh. Romans chapter 7, and then we'll continue on with the book of Psalms, chapter 1. So Romans 7, Paul is writing, and who is he speaking to? Speaking to the brethren here. Wherefore the law, in verse 12, the law, or Torah, is pure, and the commandment pure, just, and good. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul, stand in line. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, he's not saying that that's in every case, of course. No, then he would be committing deliberate acts of sin. Verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me. For I delight in the law of Yahweh. After the inward man, of course, that would be contrary to most religions today. They don't want to delight in the law of Yahweh. Of course, here in the King James, I changed that word from G-O-D to Yahweh. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank Yah through the Messiah, our, it says L-O-R-D there, so let's make that master, through the Messiah, our master, I thank him. So then with a mind I myself serve the law of Yah. He serves the law of Yah, just like Solomon wrote there, and in the book of Ecclesiastes, as we read there, and wow, what a blessing today. But I can relate to Paul, that I, you know, have to struggle against that old sinful nature, but, well, I don't have to struggle that much, though, thanks to the Spirit of Yah and the years of walking in the faith. I think it, in a way, it does get easier the older you are in Yahweh as a believer. Ecclesiastes, we had read, yes. So what I mean to say is Ephesians chapter 2, by the way, for those who argue that, well, we're Gentiles. We don't have to put up with that Jewish covenant and that Jewish salvation and that Jewish Savior and that Jewish law. But it says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time, these old Gentiles, that at time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world. But now, in Messiah, you who sometimes were far off, you know, when you're just plain old Gentiles out there, you were far off, are made nigh or close by into the covenant. You are made nigh by the blood of Messiah. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace, he is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace, he is our peace. And then there's more to that song, but I, off the top of my mind, I can't remember. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, I'll read it as the modern versions say, including King James, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Then let's read that properly. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity against the law. The enmity, not even the law, but the enmity against the law, or some say against, if you're from Canada, against the law of commandments, in ordinances. Now, I skipped that word contain because that was an added word there that they were trying to help, but the word contained is in italics, so that means that it was added. So I'll better start again, then, in case you missed the whole context. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity against the law of commandments in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto Yahweh in one body by the tree at Calvary, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. And he preached peace in Zechariah 9:10, as well as Matthew 5, where he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to make it full. And we could look up that word fulfill there, or fill full, which means to accomplish and to even amplify the law. He came to make it more real in our life. It's a loving thing. It's not some sort of a bondage that they try to paint. For through him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens. You are, listen, I don't care where you are, in the tent out there, near the equator or near the South Pole, you are foreigners. You're no longer foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints of the household of Yah. And you are built upon the foundation of the emissaries, or apostles, and prophets, Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly formed together grows unto the pure temple in Yahweh, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of Yahweh through the Spirit. So that applies to you wherever you are, if you are in Messiah. The only constant in the world today is change. But Yahweh never changes. Yes, never any shadow of turning with the Father. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13. Now, at the about the last verse. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, just like Paul here, David writes, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Yes, we're like those that have been grafted into the good olive tree. We're of the commonwealth of Israel. No, we're not all Jews. We're not, even some of us are not of the 12 tribes, but Yahweh promised Abraham that he would multiply his seed as the sand of the sea. Abraham's seed is a majority. The Gentiles are a minority, whoever they are. But even they are grafted in. It says that, when you become a stranger, you need to get grafted in and walk like all Israel, according to Yahweh's word. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Sinners, for Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Yahweh is going to laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. That's Psalm chapter 2, verse 4. Then to Psalm 19 very quickly. It fits right in very nicely. And a little bit of Psalm 119 as well. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the esteem of Yahweh, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. Yes, if you haven't studied about creation recently, you should, no matter who you are. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Yes, we know about Yahweh's stars and his constellations, and we know a little bit about that, don't we? Great, beautiful universe that you can see there at night when it's not too cloudy. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. You know, the bridegroom, of course, represents us. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The Torah of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my Redeemer. And then in Psalm 119, verse, you can start anywhere you want. How about at the letter Pei, which is the verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore does thy soul keep them. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Unto those that love thy substitute name, a different name or a pagan name? No, his name. Yes. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. And this person was saying, so will I break thy precepts. Make thy face to so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. So you could read on there in the book of Psalms. Very, very interesting, wasn't it? And, about the feasts, as long as we're in the book of Psalms, there's a lot of references here. Psalm 84, 81, and 82. No, maybe not 82, but Psalm 81. Sing aloud unto Yahweh in strength. Make a joyful noise, make a joyful sound unto the mighty one of Jacob. Take a psalm, bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet and the new moon. Now today is a new moon here. Blow up the trumpet and the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel and a law of Yahweh of Jacob. In modern versions, including King James, it says this was a statute. And that's true, it was, but that's in italics, right? In any case, you can look up the word, and is would be applicable in there as well. For this is a statute for Israel and a law of the mighty one of Jacob. Psalm 84 reads similarly. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living Yahweh. The sparrow has found a house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thy altars, O Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of armies, my sovereign, or my king and my Yahweh. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. You might also look at verses 5 and 6 in Psalm 84, 5 and 6 up in another version. In whose heart are the ways of them who's passing through the valley of Baca? Make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. Well, I tried to do it with a little bit of inflection there. But one of my questions today is, how is your spiritual health? Are you doing this? Yes, you're listening. You're looking up the words. You're even noting what dates these feasts are. We're researching how to pronounce Yahweh's name, Yahweh, or Y-A-H-H, or the Messiah, Yahusha, and there's variations on that, but we say Yahusha here. But are you actually doing the feasts? Are you being intimidated by someone, or feel threatened in some way that you will lose your employment, your job, if you keep the feasts? If you take time off three times a year for the big feasts, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Are you actually traveling to these feasts? Well, some cannot, sadly enough, but I'm very concerned because You know, if we don't keep the feasts, if we don't keep the Sabbath days, and if we cheat on that, I can't think of a nicer word to use, but if we fudge a little bit, I guess, if we snitch a little bit on the feasts, then we're actually in sin. And say, well, I'll lose my job. Yeah, I know, you might. I did. I got another one. But then I lost that one too, mainly because of the Sabbath. And we're going to go to Psalm 42 next. But try to ask for help from Yahweh. If you're struggling with that, try to ask for help on how to keep the Sabbath day all the way through from sunset to sunset. And keep these other Sabbaths too, all seven feast days. Oh, it is a blessing. It's not bondage at all. It might be to some people who have to struggle. Also today, we want to go through the book of Acts about the feasts today. And a little bit there, I could at least give you references, okay? But we're checking our spiritual health. We're not just reading the words and hearing them and great, inspiring, wonderful words of faith, wonderful words of life, words to live by, but we're also living. We're doing the halakha, the walk in Yahweh. We're physically, as well as spiritually, mentally, and so on, and even financially, we're keeping Yahweh's feasts one way or another. If you're still having a problem, pray about it, but also let me know. Maybe I can help in some way. Psalm 42, as the hart pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O Yah. My soul thirsts for Yahweh, for the living Yahweh. When shall I come and appear before Yahweh? Well, it tells us. It tells us back there in the Torah, in Leviticus 23. And, also in the book of Acts, I think it tells that pretty clearly. My tears have been my meat day and night, or night and day, it should be, while they continually say unto me, where is thy Yah? My tears have been my meat. As they say, where is Yahweh? Where is he? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of Yahweh with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept feast day. Also it mentions tabernacles there in 43:3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy separated hill and to thy tabernacles. Now, of course, it's not necessarily speaking of that feast necessarily there. But I like it. It fits. And to thy Sukkotes. Yes. Then will I go unto the altar of Yahweh, unto Yahweh, my exceeding joy. Yes, upon the harp will I praise thee, O Yahweh, my mighty one. Ezekiel 45:17, read that whole passage there, whole chapter, 45:17. 45:17, it should be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts. So, especially the three main feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, Feast of Weeks, and Sukkot, or Tabernacles. And in the new moons and in the Sabbaths, in all solemnities. So it calls the new moons solemnities here. They're all categorized together as solemnities. No, people can argue. Of the house of Israel. There they can argue again. I heard that this morning. There that they, we're not Israel. I came out of a pagan tribe somewhere, he said. Well, good. That's even better, that you could join us. Thank you. You could join us. Gather around the throne room. Praise him. All right, let's continue. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings to make reconciliation for the house of Yisrael. Now, of course, Messiah is our offering now, and he is our peace who has broken down every wall. Thus saith Yahweh, in the first month, in the first day of the month. So there you are. There's a command to do something in the new moon and the new year, which would be about the pagan month of March, the third month. Third Roman year there. In the first month, first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the set-apart place, or the Hebrew word mikudesh. The priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the posts of the house, upon the four corners of the settle of the altar, and upon the posts of the gate of the inner court. And so shalt thou do the seventh day of the month for everyone that erreth. What's that now? So thou shalt do the seventh day of the month for everyone that erreth, and for him that is simple, so shall you reconcile the house. Now, that doesn't mean that it's a lunar Sabbath here, but as I interpret the first day of the month here in Ezekiel possibly was also the first day of the week or something, and so that the Sabbath, that particular year and month that it turned out to be Sabbath, was the seventh day of the month and the seventh day of the week as well. So I don't know for sure. In the first month, in the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. And upon that day shall the prince prepare for himself and all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering, and 7 days of the feast. No, not like some of the worldwide Church of God taught that you only kept 2 days, although in the earlier days when they were the radio Church of God, they kept all 7 days of unleavened bread. See giveshare.org. And 7 days of the feast he shall prepare a burnt offering to Yahweh, 7 bullocks and 7 rams without blemish daily. The 7 days, and a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. He shall prepare a meat offering of an ephah for a bullock, an ephah for a ram, and a hin of oil for an ephah. In the seventh month, so now we're skipping here time-wise. So in the seventh month, in the 15th day of the month, shall he do the like in the feast of the 7 days. So this is tabernacles. According to the sin offering, to the burnt offering, and according to the meat offering, and according to the oil. Thus saith Yahweh, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days. But on the Sabbath it shall be opened. So let's see, which gate of that? The gate of the inner court that faces toward the east shall be shut except for the Sabbath day. It shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. This could be just possibly just the Feast of Trumpets, but it doesn't say that. And let's go to verse 3, skipping 2. It's a long verse. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Yahweh in the Sabbath and in the new moons, plural. Moons, also see Numbers 28:11. And the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto Yahweh in the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. Yes, shall we get to that? Shall we get down to reading the word and trying with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength to praise Yahweh and to be obedient, and to lift him up? Shall we make him the king of our life? Yes, the master, the sovereign, the ruler, and all of those different things. Yes, we should make him the commander-in-chief of our life. Yes, praise Yah, as we move on. For all of our iniquities of the past, we confess them. If we repent right now, we confess to Almighty Yahweh to be forgiven of breaking his Sabbath days, even his new moons, even the feast days. If we've not kept them in their proper intent, then we need to move on and now keep Yahweh's separated feast days and get away from the old Babylonian system that we're in right now as much as possible. Here he is, Ray Stevens from 1970.
When we can get to the treasures at the bottom of the sea, we can get to the moon and back and watch it on TV. Can we get to the people who are lost and deceived? Can we get to the point where we can give and not receive? Well, we can get to that lunch appointment at that restaurant downtown. We can get to the seashore when vacation rolls around. Can we get to that little boy who has no food to eat? Can we get to that little girl with no shoes on her feet?
Can we get to that?
Well, do we really know where it's at? Can we get to that?
Can we get to that?
Well, if we can, peace on earth, maybe come.
just might be a place in heaven. There just might be a place in heaven. There just might be a place in heaven for you and me. If we can get to that. I said, can we get to that? Talking about me and you, girl. Talking about me and your sister. Can we get to that?
Can we get to that? Ray Stevens, and can we get to the... What does it look like when we walk with Yahweh in the book of Acts? We're going to be covering Acts 17, Acts 19 and 20, 21, 23, 24, 26, 28, and much more. Here in Acts 17, verse 2, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Also found in 16, 13. Sweet. Turn back for a second. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Another reference is in 13:42. And all throughout the book of Acts here. So where do they also keep the feasts? In Acts 18, verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. This was in A.D. 54, after the resurrection of the Messiah, long after the death, burial, and the resurrection. And as we keep moving in the book of Acts to 18:15, but if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look to it, for I will be no judge of such matters, Paul said. So let's get to that. Verse 21. He bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep or celebrate, I must by all means celebrate this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. Acts 19, they're getting immersed, they're getting baptized there in the name of Yahushua the Messiah. And then on to Acts 20, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So, in... Verse 6, 20 verse 6, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days, keeping the feast of unleavened bread away after the death and the resurrection of the Messiah. And upon the first of the week, when the emissaries came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Now they're just eating, of course. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So this is out of one of the Sabbaths, the first of the week, one of the high days of the Sabbath days, possibly. But at any rate, apparently, the service went on into the evening and past midnight. So into the next day it went and past midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered. And in a window there sat a certain man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. As Paul was long preaching, he sank down. That is, Eutychus sank down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Wherefore, there he was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even until the break of day. And then Paul departed. Verse 16, that's 2016, there's another reference. For he hasted, if it were possible for him to be, literally, to celebrate at Jerusalem, the day of first fruits, or Pentecost. Paul said in verse 20 now, 4 verses later, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward Yah, and faith toward our Messiah. Yes, so he's telling everything here. He said in verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of Yahweh. Take heed to yourselves. Let's look at another reference here in 21:25. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, to forsake the Torah, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it thereof? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this day we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Take them and purify themselves with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they are informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walk orderly, and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, verse 25, as touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled things, and from fornication. Boy, that would leave the door wide open, wouldn't it? So Paul is assuming there, we don't want to leave the door wide open, that people could break the rest of the law and only have these four things here. But Paul was saying that these are very, very important things here, that that only they keep themselves from things offered to idols. So that was one of the things that they were negligent in, and from eating and drinking blood, in other words, meat that was not properly prepared and drained and all that, and from strangled, and from fornication. Now that's very important. Then read the rest of that chapter if you like. Chapter 21, verse 37 is an interesting thing. That is, it's assumed that the scripture, after Messiah ascended to heaven, that all scripture was written in Greek. However, how could that be because of this verse 37? As Paul was to be led into the castle, he said to the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Can thou speak Greek?" Well, maybe they spake Aramaic. Who knows? But it appears that they did not speak Greek as a rule here in this setting. So chapter 21, we did. Chapter 23, verse 1. Paul, earnestly beholding the council, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before Yahweh until this day. So at this point, at Acts 23, Paul never taught them to forsake the Sabbath and began keeping the first day of the week. Then in chapter 24, Acts 24, 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so I worship Yah of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward Yah, which they themselves allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. There is a time coming, a reckoning, when we stand before the Messiah, the judge. Chapter 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. And, well, you could read on there if you like. But let's go to verse 14 then. And Paul tells this account. When we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, "Paul," or "Shaul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the goads." And I said, "Who art thou, Yah?" And he said, "I am the Messiah whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up upon thy feet, or I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open your eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto Yah, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are set apart by faith that is in me." Those words are from our Messiah to Paul, and we can benefit from that. And the next reference I'd like to point out would be regarding the feasts in Acts 27, verse 9. Now, when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past. That's the fast called Yom Kippur. The fast was now already past. Paul admonished them. And why are they still keeping this fast here? It's the seventh month and the tenth day. And they're still keeping that Feast of Atonement. Other fasts mentioned in Zechariah 8, verse 19. But let's go forward in Acts 28, 23. The last chapter. Chapter 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Yah, persuading them concerning Messiah, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening it was there. That's correct. From morning till evening. Some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. And these days, more believe not, but we want to see more people. We want to get to that and get the word out. Yahweh's truth, and free people up from the bondage of sin, of their transgressing Yahweh's laws, and doing unloving things to Yahweh and to one another. We want to point them by the Spirit, through the word, to His word, to the Torah, and to salvation, of course. But first of all, we have to realize that we are sinners, that we've broken the Torah. We look at, for example, Romans 3, that we are all sinners. We were sinners. But now we have repented. We don't make a practice of sinning. Then Acts 28:25, when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well, spake the Ruach HaKadosh, as Isaiah the prophet said to unto our fathers in chapter 6, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear, you shall not understand, seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. A parallel chapter also in Matthew 13:13. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of Yahweh is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Of course, not all the Jews departed from Paul and from the way of walking in the Word, in Yahweh's Word, and that includes the Torah. Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of Yah and teaching those things which concern Yahusha the Messiah with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And we look back at Matthew 13:13 in the Brit Kadashah in the Newer Testament. And it says, therefore speak I to them in parables. So Messiah says, I speak to them in parables because they seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. In Isaiah 28, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. I had a controversy this morning, as I may have mentioned, with some people who think that they're very diligent students of the Word and believers, and the argument got to a steaming point, and that's where I stopped, and I said, neighbors are listening to this shouting going on next door to us here. They don't appreciate hearing people argue about religion, and we need to quit that. And then, so we went on, and then the fervor of the argument picked up again into loudness and shouting, and that's when I said, okay, that's it. Don't come back. please don't come back, because it doesn't do me any good to read scriptures to you. You ignore them. You also say that the concordance is worthless. There's no point in reading the concordance, which, of course, that defines what these Hebrew and Greek words are. And the gentleman said, that means nothing. You shouldn't have that book at all. So he was being unreasonable. And since I've been working with him so many years, I just, we just have to take the dust off of our feet and move on and be more noble. In Acts 17, verse 11, there were those more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And these are the Bereans, as it says in the previous verse. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, yes, than the Gentiles there, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, not the Gentiles, but the Jews. And they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so or not. And they were searching the Old Testament. Yes, they didn't have the book of Acts. They didn't have Galatians to try to twist the word using Paul's words, trying to say that the law of Yah is done away with. But we're checking our spiritual health and making sure that our life looks like what the scriptures say here. We've read this here today on the new moon and the Sabbath here about keeping Yahweh's word, praising Yahweh, lifting him up. And their spiritual health was good. Time is running out on this time for our lives here on earth, and we need to be diligent, not be wasting our time as far as doing sinful things. That would certainly be a waste of our time if we were dabbling in sin, or if we were seriously getting into a transgression of Yahweh's laws and sinning. So we want to encourage you to, not be like those in Thessalonica who are less noble, not be like the lawbreakers or the lawlessness people, those who were antinomian, who have no desire to, put their best foot forward and seek Yahweh with all their heart, soul, and mind and strength. But right now, what is the end of? In Romans 10, verse 4, Messiah is the end of the law. Romans 10, 4. Messiah is the end of the law. Or to a nominal Protestant, Jesus Christ is the end of the law. And they think that that means that he ended and made an end of the law. And also in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount there, where Messiah said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, or fill it full, or to complete it. And so then they would agree with that. Yes, complete, meaning abrogating it, doing away with it. But we shall see here the meaning of these words. The law, where else is the word end of used? It's other than Romans 10:4, Messiah is the end of the law. End in Greek is telos, T-E-L-O-S, and it means the conclusion. Yes, the aim. So Messiah is the conclusion of the law. Messiah is the aim of the law. Messiah is the result of the law. Messiah is the purpose of the law. The aim, conclusion, result, the purpose. So Romans 10:4 could read, and this is not a marginal rendering, Messiah is the purpose of the law. And then the antinomian would say, well, yes, he is the purpose of the law. He is, his purpose was to do away with it. Well, he said, I have come and I keep my Father's commandments, and I will that you would keep my Father's commandments too, in the book of John. If the word end of, or telos, the Greek word means the Torah was ended and done away with, Then a glimpse of the same word, telos, in other scriptures means that everything has been done away with. The commandments, in 1 Timothy 1, our conversation in Hebrews 13, and even Yahweh himself. And this is what I offered here to my friends who came to see me, that they were really having a problem with the law. They were the ones who were attacking me for having kept the law and wearing a tallit and walking in the word of Yahweh. I was being criticized for that, and I wanted to take care of this in a peaceful way. Let's have a peaceful confrontation, if anything, a discussion of the word, not a heated argument. That's the worst thing. We need to, one rule needs to be, Stefan's rule is to sit down. Don't do all this stuff shouting at each other, standing up. We need to be rational and reasonable and sit down and carefully look each other in the eye, carefully look at the word. And there can be pauses. There can be dead air in there, maybe of several minutes as we reason, as we read the verse and we reason about that. We meditate upon his word. So 1 Timothy 1, now the end of the commandment is charity. Or excuse me, I should use a different word than that. That's from Charis. Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and good conscience and faith unfeigned. But it says there the end of the commandment. Well, it doesn't mean it's ended. It means it's the purpose or the aim. The conclusion in us, yes, we are the conclusion that Yahweh wants to fulfill his law in us. He wants to fulfill all the word, not just Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy in us. He wants to fill all of his word that he has given us. And that is the whole of Yahweh. Hebrews 13, considering the end of their conversation. So if end means conclusion, done away with, abrogated, then our conversation is ended. And these gentlemen laughed at that. And I said, well, this is not a laughing matter. This is a serious thing. Let us be very sober about Yahweh now. And don't scoff at people who look up things in the concordance to try to come up with the end of the matter, with the whole of the matter. James 5:11. We have seen the end of Yahweh. So there, we've seen the end of Yahweh twice now. I think, that's once. James 5:11. 1 Peter, 1 Kefa 1:9. Receiving the end of your faith. So would they substitute conclusion, the abrogation, receiving the abrogation of your faith, to obliterate our faith, to obliterate our conversation, to obliterate Yahweh, and to obliterate the commandments? Well, yes, they would love to obliterate the commandments, to have them all abrogated, at least that one about the Sabbath, the one that deals with our time. So we've studied here about the end of, and the famous false sayings that some would bring up. Then the word fulfilled. We didn't quite touch on that very much. I don't know what the Greek word is right now for that, but let me give you the references. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. The Torah is fulfilled in us. Romans 8, 4. 2 Corinthians 10, 6. It reads, when your obedience is fulfilled. And they agreed with that, that in the context that it's done away with, our obedience is done away with. Here these are supposed to be upright religious people, leaders of a major denomination in America, and they said that our obedience is done away with. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all to most of Christianity. They would argue and differ with that concept of doing away with our obedience, but I think that we get a little stubborn now and then. We just don't want to give in to the truth when we're having these confrontations. And, they didn't. But I am hopefully having an open mind to learn something as time goes on. There must be something I don't know yet. They claim to know it all. And they said that if you're always learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth, then there's something wrong. So you can't be learning new things. That was their stand there. Galatians, but you don't care what they were thinking anyway, right? But here's how to deal with them anyway. Galatians 5:14 now. As I looked up this one about fulfilled, it says, all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Well, then they took upon that as a, on the clever device, the word love, trying to say that the commandment was done away with, and obedience is done away with. Everything is just love now. Just love, love, love. I think John, Paul, George, and Ringo came up with that one. All you need is love. And so I thank them for bringing us to the place that we are in our civilization where there's hardly any good law left. And, there's such a breaking of Yahweh's commandment, and things are making it worse on us just because people have the anti-law attitude even in our government. And he said, well, I don't care about the government anyway. Well, someday he'll care when he's taken off to an internment camp maybe. Revelation 20, verse 3, until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. So that's another usage of the word fulfilled in Revelation 20, verse 3. Now here's another saying, we're not under the law. I think I only have one example for you here, but Romans 8, 7, not under the law, but above the law. Romans 8, 7, for the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. It is not subject to the Torah, neither indeed can be. We're not subject to the Torah. The carnal mind is not subject to it. The carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh's Torah. It is not subject to the Torah. Neither indeed can be. And then, of course, if we look in Isaiah 9:6, we see here that the government is on Yahweh's shoulders, but without his Torah, then his government is not on his shoulders, because a government without law would be a law unto themselves, unto ourselves. What kind of governor would have no law or no Torah to govern his subjects? Well, that would be a lawless governor. It'd just make up his own rules. But for unto us a child is born, it says here, Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh. And this is speaking of the Messiah. The Mighty Yahweh, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government, or of his laws, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it, with judgment, and with right ruling from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. Another common excuse is, we are Gentiles, we're not Jewish. And, of course, salvation is of the Jews. We very much esteem Yahweh, who is Jewish, as the Most High King of Kings, the Sovereign, lower than the Father, but above everybody else, above the angels. But I would have to turn down the offer of his Jewish salvation and being grafted into Yahweh and into the good olive tree and the commonwealth of Israel if I were to reject his Jewish thing and to pull out the race card and say that we don't want to be Jewish. In our efforts to avoid Judaism, we deny Yahweh's word and substitute our own Sabbaths, our own feasts. Stubbornness is bound up in our hearts, just like it says in Proverbs 22:15, and Yahweh's rod of correction will drive away that stubbornness far from us. Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jeremiah 31:31, the new covenant, he's going to write his Torah in our heart and in our minds. A future Hebrew covenant. The Spirit will write Torah in our hearts and minds, and it will be consistent from the past, the present, to the future, from Genesis to Revelation. And we will have that relationship. Hebrews 8 and 10 also have that relationship, that covenant, the marriage vows, the honey-do list, a relationship with conditions. Yes, there are conditions in our relationship. Yahweh's feasts not only picture past events, but the bright, sweet future with the Savior in eternity. How beautiful it is the beauty of his Torah, of his feasts, new moon, Sabbaths, and in the future, New Jerusalem. Thanks for joining us today, checking our spiritual health here on Yahweh Yahweh. But we've already gone over an hour, and I think this would be a good place to stop, maybe hear a few sounds from the celebration singers. Good day.
Takes us far.